You know, I was saying that I have a lot of energy when I do this, but when I stop doing it, I suddenly collapse. I can't tell you how grateful I am for the opportunity to do this. It really gives me. Oh no, I mean it. I'm not buttering it up. Here's the answer to how many lawyers it takes to screw in a light bulb. Whereas the party of the first part, also known as lawyer, and the party of the second part, also known as light bulb, do hereby.
Okay.
I was asked a lot of questions about step four, and before I go on to step five, I want to deal with them. They're wonderful questions, and I very much appreciate them because I don't always know how well I'm conveying ideas. Where does controlling fit into the fourth column? I would say it fits everywhere in the fourth column. It fits under selfish, self-will. It's what you want out of life, and you control things. Honesty, dishonesty. You're trying to control things you have no ability to control. You're manipulating people and telling them things in order to have your way. That's not being honest. Self-seeking, it's all you. It's what you want out of life. That's the controlling aspect. And fear is so much of controlling is based on fear. At least that's how I see it. For the fourth column of resentment inventory, do you put the character defect for each cause in column two, or just for each person and institution, column one? For each person, institution, column one, that's why you bend, you fold everything over so you don't look at column two and column three. It's generic. In relation to this person, where have I been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Not in relation to what they did to me. Okay? Good question. Really good questions. Do you write a short explanation of why you were selfish, dishonest, fearful, self-seeking, or do you just write the word? Oh, no, you write your explanation, a short explanation. As a matter of fact, I would say that that's the area in which I most take issue with Joe and Charlie's forms. They ask, were you selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Where the big book clearly asks, where were you selfish, self-seeking? They may have changed their form. They changed their forms over a period of time, but they always did that. Infinite God is not a vending machine that gives us what we want, e.g. always healthy, long life, etc. So how can relying on infinite God be an antidote for fear? Infinite God allows fearful things to happen. Well, this becomes maybe more theological than anything else, so I'm just trying to sort of think of my answer to that. So it's a good question. It does depend on your sense of what an infinite God is, I guess. But if your infinite God, allows fearful things to happen, then those things are things over which you have no control. The opposite of infinite God here is finite self. If you're relying on your finite self, you're not relying on infinite God. But let me put it this way. The word infinite God is my conception of God, and it's your conception of God. And these are words I would never use. I'd never use the word God. I'd never use the word infinite God, let alone God. I would say, where is my trust and reliance on truth, love, justice, and beauty, or on my finite self? That's an easy question. So it becomes a matter of semantics. Get rid of the word infinite. If it bothers you, get rid of the word infinite. You're relying on God or your finite self? Yes. Quick question.
It's my question.
Good question.
So, I think you're explaining it eventually for me. It's like things happen, and I think what I came to was I'm just not lining up with reality.
Okay.
So where was I relying on fantasy, as opposed to where was I relying on reality?
Okay. Yeah, where I was relying on fantasy rather than reality. That's fair enough. Help me process my resentments against God. Let's take that as an example. God is listed there. Many people list God in the first column of the resentment. For some of you, that may be blasphemous. For some of you, that won't be. Why? You know, allowed this horrible thing to happen, either to me or to my loved ones or to other people in this world, stands by while bad things happen, whatever it is. I mean, there are all kinds of reasons why people resent God. Wants my obedience, but doesn't do anything for me or something. I don't know. That's column two. Column three certainly probably affects all of those ambitions and self-esteem and, you know, doesn't answer my prayers. So you would fill out the checklist, be lots of checklists and full of fears. Okay, where have you been selfish in relation to God? You want God to do what you want God to do, what you want God to do. You want to be God. You want to tell God to do that. And I mean, that is the answer that almost every religion gives for the problem of evil, ultimately. Where am I dishonest? If I believe in a God who does these things, I don't, but if I did believe in a God who is responsible for the world, where am I dishonest? I can't fathom God. I'm not God. I can't understand everything that goes on. I somehow am applying to God criteria that I have no right to apply. I'm trying mortal criteria to an immortal, infinitely powerful being. Self-seeking, I resent God. I still resent him. I still don't like what's going on. He's not answering my prayers. He's not helping me. Fear, I'll never get help from God. Does that make sense? And I hope that helps. Where do the principles go in the column? Column one. Okay, the principle is a fact or something that you think is true that you wish weren't true. And you would put that in column one. Why in column two? Why is that on your list? Does it affect your self-esteem, your ambitions, your pocketbooks, etc.? And then you'd fold the thing over and you would say, where am I selfish in relation to this principle? There is suffering in this world. I can't do anything about it. Selfish, I want life to go my way. Dishonest, I have no control over almost everything that bothers me. Dishonest, I'm not even doing the little I might be able to do to stop whatever little part of it I could stop because I'm paralyzed by my fears. Self-seeking, I somehow deserve that not to know about people suffering. You know, I really just want to be isolated from them, but I'm too aware of it. I don't know, you may or may not have that sense. I have that sense. And fearful that there will always be suffering in this world. I've always been told that my part in step four always includes selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and fearful. Yeah, well, that's the four characters. Sometimes it's hard to see where I've been all four. Very true, especially if you're just beginning and you haven't sort of developed a sense of comfort with these forms. I mean, most of us who've been using these forms for a long time can almost always see all four in everything. I think that's generally true. I look at the people who do that. But when we start, that's what I do in step five. In step five, I'll help to fill in the blanks. And I think sometimes that's what we can get from other people, get the feedback we need to fill it in. I can't help you any more than that. I mean, I can give you examples, and I can certainly refer to the download you can get of these forms. They're all in PDF, like Adobe forms. You can get this form in which I've filled them out column by column using sort of, there. I think there are three lists of resentments and two lists of fears and one list of sex conduct, which I've given as examples for how you might fill out all four of the defects of character at the end of the resentments and how you might fill out the fear and the sex conduct form. That might help you. If not, you know, on the website, oabigbook.info, there is a link to contact me. And if you want to contact me, I'm more than happy to contact you if I can help you in any way, shape, or form. I don't take phone calls because my wife shares the phone. And I can't use up the phone. I make appointments if people need to talk. Sometimes I don't have time. I really have a lot of correspondence, but I will answer emails. Okay? I had to write to people and say, I can't talk, I have the flu, or I can't write. You know, there's times when I couldn't get my head. Well, I had pneumonia. My head around some of the letters I get. But it's a very fulfilling part of my life. And my answers are always, as I'll tell you when we get to sponsoring, you'll get your answers that are right for you, not from me, but from step 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Ooh. Excuse me. I have no answers for you other than how to get to where you need to get for your answers. Okay. We have an hour and 15 minutes for 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Are we going to do it? Yes, we are. I'll probably deal with step 10 partially tonight, but something. Oh, I want to. probably deal with 10 a little bit tonight and go back to it tomorrow, because I do have more time tomorrow than I normally do. The big book starts Into Action. Into Action discusses 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, all in one chapter. And they say, having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? Page 72. We've been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator to discover the obstacles in our path, the blockage. We've admitted certain defects. We've ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We've put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which when completed will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, to another human being, the exact nature of our defects. By the way, you'll know that as we read the steps on the wall, it's admit to God, to ourselves, as another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six is became willing to have God remove all of our defects of character. And step seven is humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. And essays have been written on why these change from each step. But when you look at the big book, the word defect is used for all three. This is the example. It's not wrongs, it's defects, the exact nature of our defects, not of our wrongs. When you get to the step seven prayer, is remove every defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. And Bill was asked about that, and his answer was, I was taught not to use the same word in successive sentences, but they all mean the same thing. At least I've read that he said that. I didn't see a quote from him. And then they say, this brings us, this is the fifth step of the program of recovery. So there's a whole bunch of action that's needed. The next action is to admit to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our defects. And then the next number of paragraphs is, why do this? Why admit to another human being? And the answer they give is, because you'll die if you don't. That's basically their answer. That's our experience. If you don't admit to another human being, you will go back to drinking. I'll give you three other reasons, which are not in the big book, but I think that are true. I mean, the first reason is the best. You'll die if you don't. To take our word for it, do it. Another reason is confession is obviously good for the soul. I mean, there's a matter of unburdening yourself. If you hold something in, it kills you, you know? And confession is good for the soul if it's done in a way that's safe. Second is that you will find that you are no different from the person to whom you're speaking. It's boring. I mean, it's really boring hearing a step five in a way, because it's all the same. Clancy, again, that great speaker, tells the story about listening to a step five. He's driving, it's late at night, the windshield wiper is going back and forth, horrible Los Angeles rain, and there's this guy who's got in the passenger seat a flashlight, and then Clancy, I did this, and then I did this, and then I did this. Clancy says, does he know what I'm thinking? How boring this is. This is, I hear this all the time. Why can't I get a murderer someday? Well, that's an awful thing to say. You know, he's the kind of guy who says very shocking things, but it's true, because the second reason that I'll give you for doing a step five is to realize you're no different from anyone else. They're going to hear you and they're going to say, yep, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. I mean, I remember listening to Step 5, this is when I was a lawyer, I'm no longer a lawyer, but, and this is a friend of mine, well, she was my sponsor, he comes in, says, here's a dollar, you're on retainer, you can't say anything. Okay, and then she sat down, she said, you realize after I finish, I'll have to kill you. And that was partially in jest, but not completely. And then she went on, she had 180 resentments, and let me tell you, it didn't take long. It may be an hour and a half, 2 hours, because it was ditto, 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 ditto after about the 20th page. And then we finished, and I used the checklist, and she said, no, I've left something out, I've deliberately left something out. And then she told me something, and I'm not even sure I remember what it is. I said to her, I've done that. It's probably something that many people have done in their lives. You know, just sort of like, she walks out and she's like on air. because we're all the same. All of us, in a way, have been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. Otherwise, we wouldn't be at this point. And there may be slight differences of how it happens. We may not have experienced, well, we will not have experienced what you have experienced. All lives are different. But when it comes to this generic four character defects, it's pretty much the same. And the third reason is that you get some objectivity and feedback. I mean, sometimes we are self-flagellators. We just want to beat ourselves up for all the things that we've done in our lives, even things that we aren't responsible for. The example of being sexually abused at the age of 6 and beating yourself up for that at the age of 55, 60, you need some objectivity if you're still feeling that way, having done your step 4. But you also may not be really honest. You may not know where you've been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. So that's where you can get some feedback and objectivity. So those are all good reasons, but the ultimate reason is, this is what the Oxford groups discovered. If you don't do it, you'll go back. You won't have a spiritual awakening. You've got to talk about it. And the bottom of page 73, there's so much good in what I'm skipping, but I just got to get to the heart of it. Right at the bottom, we must be entirely honest with somebody if we expect to live long or happily in this world. And then they give you a page on how to find the right person, because remember, this book was written for people who did not have AA in their community. So they would not find anyone from AA, and of course any other 12-step group, because there were no other 12-step groups at the time. Am I on? Yeah. No other 12-step groups at the time. Oh, this is badly placed, isn't it? How's this? Is this better? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not puffing. Puff, puff, puff. Yeah. So they give you the guidelines. If you belong to a religious denomination, there's some that requires confession, you will go to that person. You may see a psychologist. You may find some other person who is ordained by an established religion. Maybe a close-mouthed, understanding friend. Maybe even someone in your family. But we can't disclose anything to our wives or parents, which will hurt them and make them unhappy. They go on to say this: we have no right to save our own skin at another's expense. Such parts of our story we tell to someone who will understand yet be unaffected. And then they give a general rule. The rule is we must be hard on ourselves, but always considerate of others. And that's really important in all kinds of ways. Then they say, well, maybe you can't find anyone, but at the first opportunity you have to do it. And then right at the bottom they say, we say this because we're very anxious we talk to the right person. And here are the criteria for step 5. A, he'd be able to keep a confidence. B, that he fully understand and approve what we're driving at. And on page 75, C, that he will not try to change our plan. Those are the criteria. My great ability to keep a confidence is not that I, as a lawyer, I've been trained to do that, but as a person with a terrible memory, I don't remember things a week later. And I've had people with whom I've had what I would call like intimate step fives, where they've disclosed things and stuff like that. They call me a week later and they say, remember Frank? You know, well, I figured out the amends I have to make. And I say, who the hell is Frank? You know, so I can keep a confidence, that's for sure. But the big book also says, and this is on page 96, after you've recovered, they say when you find someone, and they don't use the word sponsor in the big book, but when you find someone who is interested in what you have and wants it, they say, having had the experience yourself, on page 96, you can give them much practical advice. Let him know you are available if he wishes to make a decision. That's step 3. And remember, step 3 is best done with another human being. And tell his story, step 5. But don't insist upon it if he prefers to consult someone else. I personally have found my best step 5s with someone in OA. I personally have done that. I know other people would say, I'd never do someone OA. I have someone who is trained to hear step 5. There are lots of people who do that. So I would do it only with my therapist because of the things I have to talk about. It doesn't matter. What matters is that the person be able to keep a confidence, will not try to deter, and will understand what you're doing, and will help you understand your character defects. And then they say on page 75, when we decide who is to hear our story, we waste no time. We have a written inventory. We're prepared for long talk. We explain to our partner what we're about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. And I take that seriously. I say the person's doing a step five, or if I'm doing the step five, I'll say that to the other person. This is life or death for me. I know that if I don't do it, I will die. I thank you very much for doing this, but I've got to get rid of this crap, you know? And I ask the other person to, if I'm hearing it, to explain that. This is a very solemn moment in my life, both as hearing it and giving it, because we are sharing something that most people do not get to share. Not even spouses sometimes. My wife hasn't heard my step fives. Some of them have been about her. Even though my wife and when I get to step 10, I may talk about the one step five I did with my wife. Well, I do more step fives with my wife because she's not on them. So, and she's my best friend, and I'm basically retired. I live at home, and she's very convenient. but I also do them, and frankly, I do so many step fives that by the time I finish my step four, I know exactly where I'm going, but I still have to share it with someone and go through five, six, seven, eight, and nine. And then the big book gives the most detailed instructions in the whole book. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past, period. Instructions are over. How do you do it? Well, there are many, many different interpretations of that. There are people who say, every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past, well, talks about a long talk. You should talk about everything. I personally, and I found it to be useful, it is my experience, I ask people to take the resentment form, read column one, go to column four. You might want to say, this is my brother, this is my boss, this is the person who jilted me 20 years ago, this is the person who treated me so badly, this is a next door neighbor. But aside from that, where have you been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? I don't want to listen to column two. I don't want to listen to column three. As a matter of fact, I remember a sponsee of mine once said, well, before I tell you where I've been selfish, let me tell you what my girlfriend did to me. And went on and on. I said, you're not ready to do step five. You know, because you aren't ready. You are still taking someone else's inventory, not yours. But in between are people who believe you should read step two, column two and column three. So I'm no expert. I just tell you what works for me. And in your sponsee relationship, or if you're listening to someone else's step five, it's really what works for you. I try to be efficient. I just don't want to hear this stuff. It's so repetitious. And, you know, I've had people want to go through every single person, even though they should be ditto, ditto, ditto. You know, then there's my brother. And here's where I've been selfish, self-seeking, and frightened. And here's my sister. And here's where I've been selfish. Well, that's exactly what you wrote down for your brother. Oh, yes, it is, but I have to tell you that. So I guess I'm listening to this. It's going on and on. And you know, I have never, if I follow my way of doing it, my step fives have never taken more, or the step fives I listen to from others, even with 180 resentments and all that, 3 hours at the most. And I find that efficient. And the fact is, at the end of this, in this same paragraph, the big book gives you four criteria for success. And if you can't answer yes to all of them, you left something out. Something went wrong. So here are the promises after. And then with the fear form, I say, let me save a lot of time. You were relying on your finite self, and it didn't work. And you said the fear prayer. Tell me what your fear is, why you have that fear, and what you think your higher power would have you be. Oh, I should say that for the resentment form, often people will leave out. They will have blanks in, you know, where I've been self-seeking. That's often the most difficult one for them. Sometimes it's selfish. And I say, okay, let's talk about this one. You know, let's work through this one and see if we can figure out where you have been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened. I should also say, by the way, that when I sponsor someone, when I give them the forms, I will often say to them, if you have trouble filling these out and understanding them, I'll meet with you and go across the column for one of your most difficult ones. You know, if you have a problem with your mother, we'll put your mother down and we'll do column 2 and column 3 and column 4 across it so that you get a sense of what to do. Anyway, for the sex conduct form, I say, okay, whom have you hurt? How have you hurt them? Did you arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? What should you have done instead? And we often discuss it. You know, well, what about this? And I'll sometimes say, like, I'll never tell people where they've been selfish or dishonest or self-seeking or frightened, because this isn't my inventory, it's theirs. And they have to feel right in themselves. But I will, if they have a blank, I will often say, well, after listening to what you've said, if I were you, I might feel this in this area. I might feel that this is where I was selfish, or I might feel that this is where I was self-seeking. Does that resonate with you? Does that ring a bell? They might say yes, they might say no. If they say no, they say, okay, well, let's look at something else. So I'm not telling them what they should be thinking. I just work with them. And it is true that there are times when I listen and I say to myself, why haven't you done this or this? But I don't say anything. This isn't my inventory. Here's the big book's promises, page 75. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. Criterion 1, we're delighted. We can look the world in the eye. Criterion 2, we can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. 3, we can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. 4, our fears fall from us. Okay, is this okay?
Yeah.
And then the rest of the promises are not absolute promises. We may have had certain spiritual, we begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often, but clearly not always, come strongly. We feel we're on the broad highway walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. That is a promise, but I have no idea what it means. I mean, I do know what it means, but that's a metaphor. So at the end of my listening to step 5, I'll put it this way, when I first did it this way, which was 25 years ago, the guy I was working with said, okay, are you delighted? Can you look the world in the eye? Can you be alone at perfect peace and ease? Have your fears fallen from you? I said, I don't know. I feel really good. I feel really, really good, but I don't know. I don't know if I feel that good. I'll tell you tomorrow. I'm really tired. So in the morning, I looked at it. I said, no, I really can't answer yes to those. He said, you left something out. Go back. And there's more step 4, more step 4. Said, you know, you're adding, you're not redoing it. You're just adding, have you left anything out? And I did. I start off with one or two things and suddenly I had 10 pages of things that I just hadn't listed as resentments. Probably things that had occurred or that came to my mind between the time I filled out column 1, the time I finished the sex conduct form but hadn't gone back to column 1, I don't know, whatever it was. And that gave rise to some fears that I had. I had the fear form. I don't remember whether any sex conduct issues arose again. I might have dealt with all of those. And then I did a little step 5 with him. You know, I met with him, took maybe 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. Okay, he said, are you delighted? Can you look the world in the eye, et cetera, et cetera? I don't know, I said. I feel even better, but I'll tell you tomorrow. No, tomorrow I didn't. You left something out. Again, this is all in the space of a week. You know, it didn't happen. It didn't take that long because I already did the big stuff. I was just, you know, mopping up. And I did it a third time. I don't remember if it was that time or the fourth time that I wrote down as a resentment, I have to do this thing again, you know. But at any rate, the fourth time was gold. At the end of the fourth, I walked out of that room. I don't remember where the room was, but I walked out of that light as a feather. And all those promises have come true for me. But it wasn't, when you look back, it wasn't a big thing. I'd already done really big things, and now there were smaller things that I have to add to my step 4. So if you don't feel these promises, you miss something out. And I always say to my sponsees, better to do less rather than more. Better to not try for perfection. Get the big stuff, the grosser handicaps out, and try it, because that may be all you need to do to feel these promises. If you need to do more, you need to do more. But But better than waiting for 2 months until it's really, 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 really perfect and going on and on and on about things that you don't have to go on and on about. So that's the promise. And then, you know, it was pointed out to me, I've been misreading the big book for a long time. I missed out the third part of step five. I've admitted to myself, I've admitted to another human being, where have I admitted to my higher power? Page 75, last paragraph, returning home. We find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. Prayer, God, thank you from the bottom of my heart that I know you better. People ask me, you don't believe in God. How can you say a prayer like that? The answer is, I don't care anymore. I'll use the word God the way I use it. You can use the word God the way you use it. God no longer represents a problem to me. But if it did, in the early stages, maybe I would say, truth, love, justice, and beauty, I am very thankful that from the bottom of my heart that I know truth, love, justice, and beauty better. Who cares? I mean, when I first did the step three prayer, I changed the these and thous to you because I couldn't stand the thee and thou. I'd never said a prayer in my life. Well, I had a bar mitzvah, but I said prayers, but I didn't believe them. So to say a prayer and in the presence of another human being, my sponsor, in the car, in a parking lot, it was a weird experience, but I couldn't say thee and thou. I could accept that God could mean my conception, but truth, love, justice, and beauty are not these and thous and thys. But now I don't care. I just don't care anymore. I'm not fighting anything. Anyway, so you have to review what you've done. And you say this prayer, and then you review what you've done. You go over the forms, any notes you may have made. Have you been complete? Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. And Blaine used to joke that he thought he could make $1 million by creating and selling a Step 5 Big Book shelf. It says take the book down from the shelf. Big Book thumpers do what the Big Book tells you to do. You need a shelf to take it down from. Here's your Step 5 Big Book shelf. We turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first five proposals, first five steps, we ask, God, it's a prayer. Have we omitted anything? Have I omitted anything? For we are building an arch, here's the archway, through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? These are all wonderful metaphors. I don't think they have their equivalent in any particular big book concept. So you ask that question. Have I been truthful? Have I been thorough? And my guess is, if you are delighted and you can look the world in the eye and you can be alone at perfect peace and ease and your fears fall from you, your answer is going to be yes. But maybe you left something out. You phone your sponsor, you phone the person to step five. I forgot to tell you that I, whatever. That's step five. In my experience, about 3 hours of talking to another human being, at night, maybe the next day if you're really tired, you admit to God your defects of character by reviewing, praying and reviewing. That's step five. Step six, not in the original six steps. If we can answer to our satisfaction that we've been complete, and you should be able to answer that, we then look at step six. This is page 76. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. This keeps falling off me. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something we won't let go, we ask God to help us be willing. It no longer is in the second edition of the OA 12 and 12, but there is wording in the original edition of the OA 12 and 12 that could give you, I think, the wrong impression. I don't know if it was intended to give you that impression, but it could give you the impression that you have to be really, 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 really ready to give up your defects of character, or else you couldn't go on. And I've seen people relapse as a result of not feeling as if they were really, 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 really ready. That's not in the second edition. It's pretty clear that no matter how long or short you want it to take, your readiness is a willingness to have them taken, not, oh my God, what happens if it's gone? If you recognize that your defects of characters are killing you, defects of character are killing you, you will be ready to have your defects removed. You'd like them to be removed. You may be afraid of the consequences of having them removed. The big book, the AA 12 and 12 talks about I'll be the hole in the donut. Remember we talked about that this morning. But ultimately, being willing and being afraid are two different things. You may be afraid of the consequences, but willingness is something else. I have never met anyone who uses these forms who has ever not been willing to get rid of selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking, frightened, because it is so overwhelmingly, obviously bad. I mean, it's killing you. And because they're such big categories, they're killing you. If you have a list of 50 defects of characters, you know, then sure, you know, I'll keep gossiping because I enjoy it. I suppose. I don't know. If you reach this and you're as honest as you can, and you've got a list of your defects of character, one of them is gossiping, or one of them is jealousy, or I don't know what. I suppose there comes a point which you might say, oh, gee, I'd like to keep this. I've rarely met anyone like that, but if you do have that, the Big Book gives you a prayer. If we still cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us be willing. Blaine points out, though, it doesn't say wait. That's step six. How long does that take? From my point of view, it's an hour after you, it's less than an hour, and it almost comes as a consequence of the step five admitting to God part, where you're alone, you're going through it, and you say to yourself, do I want God to remove my defects of character? There are other Big Book thumpers who suggest you give it more time to let it sink in and to be much deeper about this. And I say nothing, I don't say that that's wrong. I'm not suggesting that's wrong. It's not how I do it, but they are as experienced as I am. They are as much as students and scholars of the Big Book as I try to be. And if it works for them, it works for their sponsees, terrific. But none of us, I think, suggest that you wait longer than a week. You just do it. You just get it over with. You may want to meditate and think a lot more than I think you have to, but it doesn't really matter. That's step six. And then step seven is, when ready, we say something like this, and we have the step seven prayer, and that's the step seven prayer, and that's step seven. It wasn't in the original, it's just a prayer. And I'll prove that it's just a prayer by the next paragraph, which I'll get to in a minute. But let's look at this prayer. Let's say it first. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. Fascinating prayer. I'm willing you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character. No, every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. And you know, I'll give you this example. I have a few obsessions that I continue to have. I know more than anyone should know, less than some other obsessive people do know, about the life and works of the great Italian conductor Arturo Toscanini. I also know more than anyone should know about a camera, a German camera named Leica. I don't remember anymore, when they went from 7 to 6 exterior screws, which is ridiculous. And I have in fact cleared a room talking about Toscanini, a party room. Literally, I cleared the room. It was the food and drink room at a party. And someone said, I wrote a book review about a book about Toscanini. I read your review, very interesting. Oh, really? I said. And in that review, I said, don't ask me about his recording engineer in 1947. I can clear a room in seconds. It was sort of a funny kind of thing. Oh, you really found it interesting? Oh, yes, I did. I don't know what I said. There were 50 people in that room when I started. There was no one in that room when I ended, including the guy who talked to me. Now, my obsession with these, both the camera and Toscanini, has resulted in, at times, 10 minutes a day of sort of relaxation, reading, you know, lists, email lists or whatever they're called, loops, or reading, you know, news reports about the latest Leica or something like that, and or listening to the conducting of Arturo Toscanini playing the music that affects me tremendously, which I will say is good for me, not even bad for me. But at the worst, I spend 10 minutes a day, you know, dealing with my obsessions, probably less than that these days. That's not standing in the way of my usefulness to God and to my fellows. It's actually, in some ways, letting me veg out and giving me more strength to go on, you know? And so, God, you know, this prayer is very carefully written. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. That's step 7. Now, what does the big book say right after that prayer? Because you can see that, from my perspective, you could do step 5, 6, and 7 the same day. Right? You may want to take longer. Other sponsors may say to you, you know what, take a little bit longer. You're just starting. Maybe you want to hold back a bit and really understand what your defects of character are and really think about getting rid of them. And I don't call that down at all. I mean, I'm respectful, very respectful of that. Just not the way I do it. But whatever it is, there is nothing else in the step 7 instructions than saying the prayer from the big book perspective. Oh, there's a lot about humility in the AA 12 and 12 and in the OA 12 and 12. Because this is humbly ask God to remove our defects of character. But from the big book perspective, the humility comes from asking God to remove your defects of character. You may want to reflect on humility, but my experience has been that when I go through steps 4 and 5, I'm pretty humbled. And humbled in a significant way, not humiliated, but humbled. I'm no better and no worse than the person I gave my step 5 to. They've experienced what I've experienced. We're the same people. All of us are the same. And there's a sense of I'm no longer unique, or as we often say in 12-step programs, terminally unique. I'm not different. It's my sense of difference that has led to my fatal actions, or my potentially fatal actions of compulsive eating.